Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What will it take for contestants to nab $1 million on the new CBS series Million Dollar Mile? Try out winning an obstacle course while outlasting a group of defenders on their trail. This run for the million begins next Wednesday, and executive producer Lee Metzger joins me next. Showtime returns to life on Chicago's South Side April 7th via Season 2 of the acclaimed drama, The Chi. We'll hear from new executive producer and showrunner Ayanna Floyd Davis later this hour. Also ahead, Comcast on a flex kick. The Conners continue on ABC and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good Friday afternoon to you and all on this March Madness Friday, second day of the first round for the men, first day for the women. And we welcome you to the program All About Television, 45 degrees at the top of the hour. Hope your brackets are doing great wherever you are. We have some wonderful guests coming your way in the next hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. 652-2906. The number's good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Our chat room is up and running and ready for business. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Lee Metzger of Million Dollar Mile on CBS will be live with us from L.A. after these news notes. Roseanne spinoff The Conners has the go from ABC for a second season. Sarah Gilbert and John Goodman will be among the cast members returning. More than 9.5 million people watch The Conners opening season on average every week. At least 11 new episodes will run during the 2019-2020 season. Internet-only customers at Comcast cable systems nationwide can add a unique TV service starting Monday, known as Infinity Flex. The service is a hub for customers to manage usage of other connected devices in their residences, from lights to the front door. Priced at $5 a month, Flex includes an ultra-high-definition set-top box for stream content displays on television and more than 10,000 free movies and TV shows on demand per month. More features, including audio services like Pandora, are in development. Now for 3 quickies. The Politician, Ryan Murphy's first original series for Netflix, debuts September 27th. Murphy has a long-term series development contract there. Travel Channel and Science Channel will simulcast Discovery's live event from Egypt, April 7th. And one of TV's most iconic, and we mean most iconic characters, Perry Mason, will return to the medium, limited series Fashion on HBO. Matthew Rice will play Mason, the lawyer created by Earl Stanley Gardner and embodied for years by Raymond Burr. First as a series that ran 9 seasons on CBS, and then a series of made-for-TV movies on NBC. Tim Van Patten will direct and executive produce this new version. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an inter-radio exclusive, executive producer for Million Dollar Mile, for next Wednesday on CBS, overseeing live LeBron James, Lee Metzger. Lee, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate it.
So what kind of competition series are we looking forward to starting next Wednesday?
Sorry, one more time?
What kind of competition can we look forward to next Wednesday when this series begins?
Oh, God. So, well, next week when the show starts, what we have is really the largest competition series I think that's ever been produced. We literally shot in downtown Los Angeles, and it's a mile-long obstacle course, as the name of the show suggests. And we are going to have runners on the course and defenders. So the way the show works is we release a runner onto the course, and every fifth of a mile, there is an obstacle that they've got to tackle. They've got to decide how far they can go in the race, and they'll have a head start before we release defenders, who there will be one runner for one defender, and as the defender chases them down, it's really a race to see how long you can stay in the competition, how far you can go, and how much money you can collect.
Well, welcome guest 171 to our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You have a question or comment for Lee, make the call or use the chat room. And one way or the other, we'll get you aboard. Lee, do they earn money while they're on the course? And let's say if they don't make the end of the course and get the million, they keep whatever they earn.
They do. So the way it works is the course is broken up by obstacles. So if a runner heads out onto the course, they run their one-fifth of a mile, and they're going to tackle an obstacle. What's really unique about the show is the obstacle course is constantly changing. So in one each individual run, the runners will be faced with different obstacles, and they have the opportunity to choose the order which they'll be going after those obstacles. So some obstacles will require upper body strength, some will be core, some will be lower body strength. So as a runner heads to the first obstacle, that first obstacle that they get through is worth $10,000. At that point, they can continue on in the competition, or they can take their $10,000 and head to our exit obstacle, which is a 15-story building, which they have to climb up, sort of in the style of the old Batman show, and zip line back to the stage. If they're feeling really good about their chances and they're staying ahead of the defender who's been released onto the course, they can continue to the second obstacle, which is another fifth of a mile away. And at that point, the prize money goes up to $25,000. From there, it goes to 50, to 100, to 250. And if they make it through all five obstacles and the exit challenge and get back to the stage, they can compete for the $1 million prize. So there's a chance to leave the course with some money without having to win the entire prize.
Got it. That's a good deal. And it's nice to see that the contestants have the choice anytime. If they want to stop and just go right to the exit, they can, or they can continue on and, of course, risk what they're doing.
Exactly right.
When you hear or you read about shows like this, you never hear a lot about how these obstacle courses, whether it's on Double Dare or American Ninja Challenge or this show, get done. I mean, how do these obstacle courses get created? How long does it take to build these obstacles, move them around the course, figure, as you said, what obstacles to use for any given episode?
Well, it's a bit of a puzzle. It's a bit of a matrix. This was developed with a company called ATS, and there's a lot of these obstacle course games and shows that you see on the air. And Rich Meehan and Allison Broder, her other executive producers on the show, developed the show really for a couple of years as they were sort of, you know, designing how this would work. But once we got into how we're going to, you know, there's a concept of a show, and then there's an execution of the show. So there was really a lot of games and obstacles that were developed over that period of time. And then you start figuring out, how do you refine them? How do you build them? And how do you create versions of these things that can be tested? Because it's one thing to have a drawing. It's another thing to build sort of a version of it. So this would be some of these games were built in smaller scale with maybe, for example, we have a game that's 40 feet high. So we didn't build a 40-foot-high version of it to test it, but we built the first 10, 12 feet. And then you see how that works. Point, you can see whether or not that game's going to work or whether or not you scrap it. So there's a bit of a testing process. You have to make sure they're safe, and you have to make sure they're doable, not only for the runners, but for the defenders, because it's, you know, the show doesn't work if people can't actually get through these things. There's no entertainment value. So that's how that works. And then once we sort of figured out which games we're going to be using, which ones we thought were going to be really great and visual, then we created sort of a rotation. We wanted games. We have a couple different obstacles, I should say. We have a couple of obstacles that are 40 feet high that you have to scale up. We built a 50-foot by 20-foot water tank in downtown L.A., which I think is 42,000 gallons of water that people will come across in the obstacle. So you have to swim across, and that gets you to a climbing wall, which is 20 feet high. And you've got a sort of a, like a inverted climbing wall, which as you're climbing up, it's got a 70-degree pitch, which puts you backwards before you get to the top. So there's some really – they're all very large scale. So that's why there's only five obstacles as opposed to being just constant obstacle after obstacle. But they're all testing different abilities. We have a sort of a parkour course where people – it's called Flies in the Wall, where people have to jump from wall to wall of various heights without touching the ground, and that's about a 100-foot-long course. So it's really – there to test different skills, different abilities, and also make it really fun for the viewer. And so the reason why this rotation concept came into play, so as you're watching the show, if we have four or five different runs in an episode, it doesn't feel like you're seeing the same course over and over again. And then we're letting the runners choose the path, which is best for them. So we want to see people do really well. And if you have the choice to decide which obstacle to go to first, you're probably going to do better at it and give yourself maybe an advantage in the time you have ahead of the defender, so you can stay in the game as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. You're taking a page in a way out of The Price is Right, because one of the joys of that show and why a lot of people think it's lasted 45 plus years is because of the versatility of the pricing games. You never know what the games are going to be on every day, and you have so much choice that it's always, every day is always fresh. You never know what games will pop up and then how that rotation will go. How much cooperation did you get from Los Angeles, the city fathers, to make the course?
Well, I mean, look, we're shooting in L.A. This is obviously probably one of the most film-friendly towns in the world, right? So, you know, it's all about permits, and we shot everything at night. So, you know, it's about scheduling stuff and finding a way to do things. So it was actually pretty easy for us with the right planning involved to shoot the show.
Million Dollar Mile is CBS's new competition series. It premieres next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We're talking with executive producer Lee Metzger. He joins us live from L.A. this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Sam Applebaum with you from the other coast in Webby York, where it's 45 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Lee, give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you. It's 646-652-2906, or use that chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. It's Guest 171 is doing. We'll have three more live episodes of our program next week, and we kick it off with a special early evening edition. It's all about Apple's big announcement from Cupertino, California, where we expect we will get the full 10 yards about Apple's move into original series programming. What shows, how they will distribute it, and how will Apple TV, the TV-connected device, be involved. We have a roundtable discussion, and we'll also invite you for your comment and questions. Joining me for the roundtable will be, for Business Insider, we'll have Apple expert Lisa Ardicchio and or Troy Wolverton. And from Media Village, we'll have new tech columnist Jeff Minsky, and maybe some other people too. And again, we invite you to give us your comments and your questions as well. Special early evening edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, Monday, all about Apple, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lee, how did the contestants get picked?
We did like a combine, like in the NFL. There was a lot of people. Once LeBron posted that he was being part of this show, as you can imagine, the casting company was really, they got a lot of applicants. And so we wanted to make sure that people could actually do what was needed to compete in the show. So we did a combine out here in LA as part of the casting process, and we put people through their paces. We made sure people could run and climb and had the skills necessary to be part of this competition. So it was pretty fun to watch. And at the end of the day, I think we got really a great group of athletes. And a lot of these people do Tough Mudders and CrossFit. You know, they're people who compete in all of these sorts of events, which are obstacle course racing. And, as soon as we found a cast of people we felt were going to be able to do this, we, you know, put them into the show.
Really interesting are the defenders, who also come from all different backgrounds, everything from CrossFit Games, Spartan World Championship, Ironman triathlons, obstacle course races like this one, and also some unique things like being in the armed forces, including, I believe, one Green Beret.
That is correct. I mean, look, we have really some of the most elite athletes in their field as part of the defenders of the course. And, we really kind of like what you're saying, you know, Robert Killian, who is nicknamed the captain, was a former Green Beret. Some of these people have really just amazing accolades in their fields, Tough Mudder champions, Spartan World champions. And they're really just, in and of itself, they're exciting to watch on the course, because their athleticism is really something to behold. And it's not the kind of thing you typically see, because the show really is a combination of a sporting event and a game show. It has the elements of game and strategies we talked about a little for the runner to figure out when they stay in the game, when they exit, how much prize money they want to try and leave with. But at the same time, just as a viewer, watching what some of our defenders are capable of is just very, very impressive.
Also with the defenders, they have two things they have to deal with. One is that the contestants get, I believe, a two-minute head start. And secondly, the defenders don't know until they hear from the contestant what obstacle they are going to choose and in what order. So that sort of like impacts your strategy as a defender, like how you deal with the obstacles and how you deal with your pursuit.
That's totally true. What happens is Tim Tebow on stage introduces the runner to which obstacles will be on their course for their run. And at that point, you know, he introduces the five obstacles they'll be facing for the night. And then he basically says to the runner, you know, where do you think you're going to start? And so the defenders at least have an idea where they're going to head to first on the course. But other than that, it really, there is no way of knowing when the runner is going to decide, I'm out of here, this is too much. Or they do an obstacle and they look, you know, that 2 minute head start, the defender makes up, and suddenly you watch a runner on an obstacle seeing the competition right next to them, knowing that not only do they have to finish the obstacle first, but now they've got to run another fifth of a mile to get to the exit. So the challenge of the show for the defender is not only keeping up with the runner, but anticipating what their next move might be. So unlike other competition shows in this sort of area or in this world, you know, the game has strategy to watch for. It has a really, it's not just a runner against the clock. You're really watching this competition between two human beings, which makes it a little bit more visceral. And it's pretty exciting when we see some of these things happen.
The host is Tim Tebow, who we've come to know first as a Heisman Trophy winner in college football, also trying to make it as a baseball player here in New York with the New York Mets, but also he's done a great job with ESPN as an analyst on college football, and now he's becoming a host. What was it like to work with him and to sort of help him sort of learn the paces of being a host?
You know, it's funny. I never met Tim or worked with Tim prior to the show. And everyone knows who Tim is. So he is literally exactly how you think he's going to be. He's incredibly warm and generous and gracious and thoughtful. He's a really good guy to work with. He's really ambitious and he wants to do a good job. So while he hadn't really hosted in this capacity before, he's still, you know, he felt really natural. He walked into the role, you know, we've got about 250 people in the audience watching live as the competition is happening. And he was really great with the runners. When they'd come out, he's a really warm guy. So he wanted to know who they were. He studied who they were before he met them. He had an opportunity to have a real conversation with them up on stage. And then once he got to know them a little bit, you know, he became their cheerleader as we've got two really large screens on that stage, which have a live feed. So the audience and Tim can see what's happening live, along with Maria Taylor and Matt Money Smith, who are correspondents. And they're in a sort of a skybox area. So between the three of them, they're seeing this all happen live. But Tim was really rooting for the runners. I mean, you know, there are moments where he's just screaming at the screens and he's yelling for them when they're up on the wall. He's really rooting for them. So he became a really great cheerleader at the same time. Just somebody who understands, and what was great about having Tim, he's been there, right? He's a competitor. He's played professional sports, so he understands that sort of sense of game and strategy and really what it takes to persevere and dig deep when you're in the moment. So I think he was a really great natural fit to host the show and help the runners through the process, but at the same time, you know, he's truly on their side. He's as much of a host as a fan at that point, where he wants people to win.
And then, of course, you have your comments, as you just mentioned, the Matt Money Smith and Rhea Taylor. We know her from her work on ESPN. Right now, in fact, she's working on the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament that began earlier today. Talk about working with them and sort of trying to have Matt and Maria mesh their various styles. I know Maria does very well with post-game interviews, for example.
Maria and Tim had worked together previously as well. So there was already a little chemistry there. Matt and Maria are great. You know, it was a really interesting process because we're having them call play-by-play, right? We're having them call the game that has never existed before. So unlike walking into a basketball game or a football game or whatever sport they're calling, this is suddenly trying to find the voice of the show, having people do play-by-play and correspondent work and find what that is and how to tell the audience who's never seen this before and give them the information they need. And those two are both such pros. They learned not only how the game works, but they helped us figure out how do you get the important and vital information of what's happening out there on our mile-long playing field, on our course, back to the audience and keeping it really exciting. At the same time, they're doing something which I think in regular sporting events you don't get, which they're also helping us understand the story of who these people are, who the runners are, who the defenders are, because, you know, it's about the stakes for some of these people. We have people who are doing it for very, very personal reasons. You know, everybody who comes on our course has an opportunity to win $1 million in the course of a 1 mile run, which is kind of unprecedented in this type of a show. Usually you have to stay on a reality competition show for 12 or 14 weeks to win such a large prize or have an opportunity of prize like this. This really comes down to, you know, possibly depending on how fast you run, how well you do on the course, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, you know, you can change your entire life. And Matt and Maria do a really good job of helping the audience understand what it's going to take to get from obstacle to obstacle, to run that fifth of a mile, and really helping us understand like the lengths people are going to have to go to and how tired they're getting and how much work it is for maybe a mother of four to go out there and do it, versus a, you know, somebody who's a boxing sparring partner. So it's really telling the story of the people from all walks of life at the same time, helping you understand what this brand new competition is all about.
You're hearing Lee Metzger, the executive producer of Million Dollar Mile. It's the new competition series overseen by LeBron James and his partner Maverick Carter from Spring Hill Entertainment, also involved with Warner Brothers and their Warner Horizon alternative television unit. And we have Lee on live from Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. The series premieres, by the way, next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific on your local CBS station. And Simon Applebaum with you live from Newhaven, York, where it's 45 degrees at the top of the hour. And hope all is going well with you, especially if you're catching the NCAA men's basketball action on CBS, True TV, TBS, and TNT, or the women's basketball action, which got underway earlier today on ESPN2 and on the ESPN Family Networks. If you have a question or comment for Lee in our remaining moments with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Special edition of our program coming your way next Wednesday on the 27th of March, and it's two presidents that will join us. First up, former Telemundo executive and now the head of the UFC of Spanish-language television, Combate Americas, Jackie Hernandez. And then we're going to explore a very interesting controversy, the controversy of how blind people are portrayed on television and who exist on television in front of and behind the camera. Our very special guest will be Mark Riccobello. He is the president of the National Federation for the Blind in a rare live interview. Join us Wednesday, 3:50 Eastern Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lee, you've had a chance with this program, I'm sure, to deal with LeBron James, and it's really amazing how, in the space of a couple of years, he has become as much a TV entrepreneur as he's become, you know, a superstar in basketball, with shows like Survivor's Remorse, The Wall, and now Million Dollar Mile. In your dealings with him, what sense do you have about how far does he want to go in television?
You know, I've dealt mostly with Spring Hill, with the executives over there, more than LeBron, because he's actually in Laker season as we've been working on the show. So obviously his focus is playing basketball, which is his day job. But I think, you know, Spring Hill as a company clearly has really great ambitions. He's about to do Space Jam 2. I know they've got a lot of documentary projects going. They've got The Wall, Million Dollar Mile's about to launch. So I think, you know, surrounding himself with really great people, Maverick Carter, Phil Byron, Jamal, I mean, this is a team of people that really have been fantastic to work with. And it's been a great experience. I've worked with a lot of different producers and companies and productions over the years. So they've been great. I mean, they're just so professional and really bring a lot of energy and enthusiasm to these kind of projects. So I think, you know, he's surrounded himself with the best people, and they're going to probably continue to be very, very successful.
And he's also inspired a lot of his fellow NBA superstars like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, former NBA superstar Kobe Bryant to form their own production companies, and now they're starting to make their mark in television as well as other media. Ultimately, Lee, what do you hope people get from watching these contestants deal with this course, deal with the defendants, and ultimately deal with the opportunity, as you say, in record time to possibly win $1 million?
But I hope people watch a show and get inspired first and foremost, right? Because at the end of the day, we're not putting professional athletes out on this course to try and compete. We're putting people that will remind you of people you know. These are everyday people. They're athletes, but they're still regular people. They have regular day jobs. They're getting a shot to go out here, potentially win $1 million, but they're also getting a shot to see what they're made of. You know, it's any sporting event at the end of the day is really about what does it take to be successful, and what does it take to inspire others, inspire yourself? So I think people are challenging themselves, and I'm hoping that people watch the show are really entertained by what we've put together. It doesn't look like any show you've ever seen. The entire thing is shot at night. I think it's just it feels like a very cinematic experience, but at the same time, I think people should take away that this is something that they could hopefully aspire to, and maybe, you know, in success, come out and try out for a season of Million Dollar Mile and get their shot at winning some money for themselves.
Million Dollar Mile. It comes your way next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on CBS. Check out Lisa Ware. It will play on your local CBS station. And for more details about the program online, of course, www.cbs.com. That's www.cbs.com. Million Dollar Mile next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Lee Metzger, any winning, I might add, executive producer for your work on The Voice. Audrey Morrissey, by the way, from The Voice, was on our show a couple weeks ago. So congratulations on all the Emmys you've won for that series. Thank you again for joining us. Good luck with this series. Hopefully it's going to be not only a great run, but a long run too.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time, Simon.
You're very welcome, Lee. Thank you for the time. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Lee Metzger, executive producer of Million Dollar Mile, coming your way on CBS starting next Wednesday. And joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you love a very unique espionage tale, how about The Other Woman? It's brand new from one of the top writers in the genre, Daniel Silva, and you can get it in audio form as part of your trial run with Audible.com. Have you heard that if you now become a one-month trial subscriber to Audible.com, you can get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks, one from the great catalog of over 180,000 titles of all makes and models, but also the growing number in the Audible Originals catalog. It's everything from original audio productions to one-woman, one-man shows, Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater material, too. And remember, you can listen to any of Audible.com's wonderful titles on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now, at Blog Talk Speaker or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get three free audiobooks and that one-month trial. But let's say you don't want the trial. You just want to go right in and subscribe on an annual basis. Well, guess what? There's a special offer now. If you use that audibletrial.com televised, you can get an annual subscription and save $50 off that price for the first year. Not only that, you get your choice of three audiobooks each and every month. So for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised and find out for yourself why audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. You're listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program All About the Tube, been with you now for over 11 and a half years, and we're with you live every Monday and Friday at this hour on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and also present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Don't forget, if you want to catch up on previous episodes, all you have to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you can also listen to us on podcasts on iTunes, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You get us on iHeartRadio, go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, or you're in. And you can also go to the entertainment section of iHeartRadio.com's podcast network, and you'll get us that way as well. By the way, again, I want to say thank you to David Farr, the wonderful executive producer of Hannah, which premieres next Friday on Amazon, for being with us on a special episode at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, yesterday. For those of you that tuned in at 12:30 when we originally scheduled the day, we apologize. What happened was that between late Wednesday and early Thursday, the time period that we had, the window that we had to interview David was changed, so we had to move our date, our start time up to noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. So we apologize if we didn't get the word, and we hope you have a chance to tune in to that episode, again, at blogtalkradio.com/televised. We come back. The Chi has a new executive producer and showrunner as that series starts its second year on Showtime next month. And you will hear her, Ayanna Boyd Davis, when we come back after the bottom of the hour. But first, we pause for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and Spreaker.com. Between them, more than 35 million listeners every month around the world and growing. BTR and Spreaker, your home for Tell's Corner. Check it out. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about the NCAA men and women's basketball tournament underway. And you can catch Kel's Corner today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, Best PTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televised this Friday afternoon. Simon Applebaum here with you live on this March Madness date. Hope all is doing great with you. 45 degrees and some sun breaking through here at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, please be sure to pick up the phone and ring it in, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number two anyway, your contacts across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And don't forget, our chat room is in business. Guest 171 is already in the room. And you'll find that chat room, SimonApple04 by name, at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Last spring, the Emmy Award-winning writer Lena Waithe created a wonderful series to Showtime about life in the south side of Chicago called The Chi. It was one of last year's most critically acclaimed series. And on April 7th, it is back. And it's back with a new executive producer and showrunner whose previous work in television includes stints on Hannibal and Empire. Joining us live in another Interway exclusive from Los Angeles, new executive producer and showrunner Ayanna Floyd Davis. Ayanna, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. What about The Chi and how well it did last year invited you to say, I want to be part of this scene. I want to be part of doing the show.
Well, you know what? It was really because I connected to the material. You know, I used to live on the south side of Chicago at 29th and King Drive. Shout out to all the Southsiders. And, you know, I knew who these people were. So I just think that I automatically identified with them because I knew them. They were in my family. They were my neighbors. And Chicago was my second home for, you know, a very special period in my life. I went to grad school there.
And what did it take? Did you do a phone call with Lena? Did you get in touch with the production company? And then everything clicked and like, wow, here I am doing season two.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should get more background. Yeah, so what happened was, so I was on the show briefly season one before there was an official pickup. So there's this kind of insider thing sometimes that networks and studios do, which is they'll do a kind of trial run of a show before they pick it up. So I was a part of season one briefly for about 3 months where I was helping them to kind of retool the show and get the official pickup. And so so then I helped with that, and then they got the official pickup, and they did season one. So that was Lena and another showrunner. So then season two, you know, Lena contacted me and was interested and having a conversation about me coming on the showrunner. So that kind of started the conversation. And then, of course, you know, the big wigs get involved and the rest is history. So that's how I came to it. But creatively, obviously, you know, I was connected to the material. I had, you know, worked on the show and kind of knew what they were trying to do with the show. It felt like I could add something to the mix. And so that's why I took a flyer on it.
And for those who don't know, last year's premiere, last year the series, was the highest rated Showtime freshman series as a series since Billions, which just started its fourth season, premiered in 2016. And get this, 4.5 million weekly viewers, which is, for a paid television service or any TV service right now these days, in this days of political TV, is really amazing. What kind of a scene do you have for this season two? Because everybody looks at a sophomore season as a season where you either super define the show from season one or you take it in a whole different direction. So which way is it going to go?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny that you, you know, run off those numbers because, yeah, it's definitely pressure. so there's that. But, yeah, so I try not to think about all that. You know, look, whenever you come onto a second year show, I think you always want to top the first season. And for me personally, you know, I wanted to put my own fingerprint on it as well. So I definitely turn it in, you know, a different direction, so to speak. But I also wanted to keep what was great about season one. And so, you know, we keep the grit of season one and we just built on it. And I think this year we really go deeper. Like I watched the first season kind of three times, like, you know, from beginning to end, from episode 1 to episode 10. And I was really trying to figure out what is the best version of the show, like where do I want the show to live season two? And for me, the thing that always stood out was that there were just these moments from season one that I thought were, you know, was really where the show lived best. And so season two is really about moments. You know, I like to say that, you know, we really get invested in these characters. We really peel the layers back. And I like to say that, like, we are documenting these people's lives, not filming their lives. So I really wanted to feel like you were peeking through a window and watching people live, like slice of life, like it's a neighborhood drama. And I really wanted to lean into that this season.
Did that dictate the approach that your writers and directors have with the China? In other words, to make it more slice of life, documentary-like in approach, in the way you film it, in the way it's acted?
Yeah, absolutely. My producing director, Jet Wilkinson, and my DP, Abe Martinez, we spent a lot of time talking about that and you know, looking at, you know, and storyboarding and really presenting a different visual template. Again, it's still the same show, but I think it's warmer, it's more intimate. And I think that's what we were trying to do. And still keep, like I said, all the fun and all the Chicago. We add more Chicago-isms to it. So it's still the same show, but I just think if you're going to find it to be a little bit more intimate, like a little bit more up close and personal.
Ayanna Foy Davis is the new executive producer and showrunner on The Chi, and its second season comes your way on Showtime April 7th. That's a Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Ayanna joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm Applebaum with you on the other end of the U.S. of A. That's New York, 45 degrees at the top of the hour. Skies are breaking loose. We're now seeing some nice blue sky and some fun sun, which I hope will last into the weekend, and we hope all is well wherever you are catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Ayanna, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, guest 171 is in the room. 1 week from today, we'll hear more about Apple's big new TV announcement on Monday from Michael Bancroft. He's the co-host executive producer of the very popular Bloomberg television series carried worldwide, Beyond Innovation. I'm sure we'll also get his thoughts on the Google game service called Stadia that you might be able to play on Google Chromecast in a matter of months on your smart TV or smart TV-connected device. And we'll have Michael talk about that, too, as well. That's Michael Bancroft from Beyond Innovation on Bloomberg Television. He's with us next Friday among our guests, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I want to talk about the diversity of your crew, the writers, the directors, obviously the actors. What's it like day by day dealing with putting these episodes together with that kind of diversity?
Oh, that's a great question. And by the way, I just want to say I love your energy. I had to go get an extra cup of coffee so I could match it. But anyway, I love talking about that. That's one thing that I'm most proud of. Like one of my closest collaborators this season was my producing director, who is a gay Asian woman from Australia. And 7 out of the 10 episodes were directed by women, which is interesting because we're kind of telling very the stories are, you know, a bit male-driven this season. We definitely don't lose track of the women. The women are still there, and they actually have stronger voices this year. I made sure of that. But 7 out of 10 voices episodes were directed by women, and it's interesting because usually, you know, directing is a male-dominated field, and usually men get to tell the stories of, you know, people and women. But this season, we have actually women telling the stories, you know, of men. So that's really cool. And my first AD was also a black woman, and department heads in locations and wardrobe and hair and makeup were all women. And my DP was a Mexican-American man who brought in several women for key positions in the camera department. So really I had a smorgasbord of talent and diversity on the show, and it was great because everybody was invested in these stories. And I think it's going to show on screen. So it was really great. And we also have, I made sure we hired, 2 Chicagoans to direct, actually directors from the South Side of Chicago, Sally Richardson Whitfield and Carl Seaton. So also did that as well. So there was just a lot of diversity. I went to my college, Columbia College grad, and they sent over lots of resumes. And so we had about 8 Columbia College grads from all different walks of life working on the show in the production office and on set. So diversity wasn't an issue season 2. So it was great.
I've seen Sally's work in a number of other TV shows. She's a super director, and she's really on her way, the way things have been going lately with her career. When you get together
fantastic.
With the writers.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And by the way, Ice-T does the trick. If you want to get your energy up, Ice-T with either Equal or Splenda does the trick, especially Fruit Ice-T.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
When you get together with your writers, especially like people like you who lived being in the South Side of Chicago, what do you encourage them to do in terms of putting scripts together? Do you encourage them to put their own experiences in or try to do some research on their own to hear, like, here's what life is like now compared to life as you lived it back then?
Yeah, you mean back in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think for me, you know, we didn't have a problem with kind of, you know, leaning into the specificity of Chicago because I lived in Chicago, you know, leaders from Chicago. I hired a former Chicago cop who patrolled the South Side of Chicago, who lived on the South Side of Chicago. So there wasn't an issue in terms of specificity. I think for me, when it comes to a writer's room, the most important thing is that I have good storytellers in the room and people who can match my energy level because I love being in the writer's room and I love telling stories. And I'm pretty animated when I'm like you, Simon, when in the writer's room. So it was very important that someone matched my energy level. And that we just tell good stories and we really think about why are we telling this story? You know, it can't just be, oh, you know, I think it's cool if we do this plot move. No, it's like, why are we telling it? Emotionally, why is this story important? And so I really pushed the room to do that, and hopefully, it, you know, people will appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things about a show like The Chi is that it's a very ensemble show. And more TV shows are becoming ensemble. It's not like the one big star, a couple co-stars in a supporting role, and then everybody else. There's a lot of balance here with this program right off from the bat because you have all these wonderful actors and all these wonderful storylines that are coming in. That's great about the variety. The other, on the flip side of the coin, is how do you balance it? One character who's trying to make a food truck a success at the same time also trying to deal with his girlfriend and figure out what kind of relationship they can have given the backgrounds, and another character who is having a mother issue, and another character who's dealing with various trauma, or another character who's dealing with street just surviving on the streets of Southside. How do you, episode by episode, with the rest of your crew, balance out these characters, each of whom has a very full, rich, you know, situation to showcase?
You know, that's actually, again, that's a fantastic question. I appreciate you asking that because people typically don't understand how hard it is to do that, particularly on a show where it's not a medical or legal show. It's not a case of the week. There's no car chases, that kind of thing. It's just living in moments. One, I mean, the way you do it is, you know, I have a lot of sleepless nights. And there's a lot of math going on in my head. But I think one thing I learned, actually working on Private Practice for 4 years under Shonda Rhimes, I remember she said something once, and it really kind of clicked for me, which is make sure each character has a moment, each episode. So just give them a moment. Like, it was very important, like, okay, does this character have a moment that they can say, the actor can say, oh, this is, yeah, you know, they can dig their teeth into. And I think I started, that was just something I had learned back then and had kind of implemented over the years. So that was it as well. The other challenge is, you know, not making it feel like Tiny Town. So you don't want to make it feel like all these people live in, you know, a 4-block radius and only interact with each other. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
That's the other thing too. But it was really meticulously planning, a lot of index cards, a lot of, again, pushing the room to really think about, you know, a real life scenarios and try not to make up artificial moments, but to, you know, think about what role would this character really travel in real life? Like, what is the real moral dilemma here? What is the real conflict? So I think that's, for me, how I guided the room and what I challenged them on. And that's how we got here. That's actually a really good question. I'm glad you asked that.
So taking it to another level, you also have to deal with, you're not the only executive producer in town. You've got Lena, you've got Common, who has really become not just a prolific actor and an all-around, you know, media person, entertainment person, but he's involved. You also have Rick Famuyiwa, a wonderful talent from Dope. Superb film, by the way. If you've never seen that film, please do. You got other executive producers, too. And it brings about this whole idea of how do you have a collective, how do you, in a sophomore season, keep a collective vision going? And how do you expand that with your fellow executive producers?
Well, there's different ways to be an executive producer. You know, all executive producers are not, you know, there every day. That's why the showrunner's job is such a big job, is because you know, you are given the responsibility to be there day to day, you know, directing this kind of massive ship and massive corporation. So, you know, Lena laid the foundation, but it's always the showrunner's job to come in and put the walls up and put the roof on and decorate the inside of the house. And fortunately, I was given room to do that. So it was really fully my responsibility of crafting season two. And it was great to have that kind of autonomy. Common definitely reappears this season and actually does a fantastic job. But, you know, he has a schedule and a life as well. And so, like I said, there's just different ways to be an executive producer. But I'm the only one that has to be there day to day, so to speak. So that's kind of how it works.
You're hearing Ayanna Floyd Davis. She comes from Empire in Hannibal, and she just heard Private Practice from Shonda Rhimes' Shonda Land. And she is the new executive producer and showrunner of The Chi, back for a second season on Showtime after critically acclaimed first one last year. And The Chi will premiere its second season on Sunday, April 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Showtime, available on cable and satellite all over the U.S. of A. Ayanna joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming up, I'm with you live from New York. A few more minutes with our guests. So give us a call if you have a question or comment. Very easy, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. And stand by, we have our classic trivia question of the week. If you haven't heard it yet, you have an opportunity to win a prize if you come up with the correct answer. So get that pen and pencil ready. We want to hear from you. Let's see if we can get a winner before this weekend is out. Ayanna, I had a chance to meet Lena when she was at the New York Television Festival the year before The Chi premiered. And, of course, it came off a wonderful Emmy win for Master of None. What's it like to work with her? And can she believe the kind of fame that she's getting where she's got The Chi, she's got a pilot that's been taken on mothballs for TBS, she's got other things in the works on her exclusive contract? I mean, this year has really been a huge year for her and her career.
Yeah, no, she's building an incredible empire, and that's why I said, you know, I was given full responsibility this year of crafting season two and had a lot of autonomy. So, you know, so she was kept in the loop and, you know, and things like that. But it was really my responsibility this season to make sure season two was a success and that our scripts and outlines and stories and all of that, all those approvals really ran through me. So it was great to have that autonomy in the room to do that. But, yeah, she's building an incredible empire.
Is there a particular storyline or subject that started last year that you're very happy expanded this year?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think every storyline we tried to, you know, take, you know, there wasn't a, I wasn't trying to depart from anything that was built season one. I mean, I think this year we really deal with Ronnie. You know, we leave Ronnie, season one left Ronnie incarcerated. And so I really think, you know, this year he's going to have to deal with what he did. You know, he was a grieving father who murdered a kid. And he'll have to deal with that. And, you know, it's a story of redemption and forgiveness this year. And so that's something that I wanted to build upon as well. But there's a lot of stories, you know, that we do that, you know, takes a strain of, you know, what was built season one, and we kind of drag it through. And that was important, too, to actually, like, we explore Reggie and Jake's relationship more. You know, the boys, the three boys are still together having fun. And one thing that was important to me with the boys was that I was like, why are they never in school? Like, I wanted to see them, like, in school. Like, they just seemed like they were always walking the streets. And I was like, and my sister's a school teacher, a counselor, actually, and my dad is a teacher. I have a lot of teachers and counselors in my family. So I really wanted to, you know, ground the boys and put them in school and let's see them, you know, what their lives are like there, you know. So those are a couple examples.
Before we leave things, I do want to mention some of the many cast members who make this show great. Jason Mitchell, who was so memorable in Mudbound and Straight Outta Compton, the Tari Guma Mbaramoine, who plays Ronnie, the person who's coming to terms with what he did, killing Jason's brother, by the way, in the series. Jacob Lattimore, Alex Hibbert, Yolanda Ross from Treme, fantastic series. If you've never seen Treme, please do somehow, some way. David Simon series, it's brilliant, done in New Orleans. Big fan of that series. Tiffany Boone, Amanda Riesco, Barton Fitzpatrick, Michael Epps. And also, by the way, one of the great guest stars this year is one of my favorite actors, Carl Lumley. I remember him from The Ditchseeker's Daughter, which he was so memorable in on the Family Channel. He, of course, was co-star for many years on Cagney and Lacey. Wonderful actor. And I'm happy he's one of the guest stars this year.
Yolanda Ross. I'm sorry. I didn't want to forget Yolanda Ross. And his mom.
Absolutely. Super person, cool. Too, by the way. What do you hope that the viewers get from this second season in terms of really understanding in dramatic fashion what life is like on the South Side of Chicago?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I think is just humanizing, you know, the South Side. I mean, people, it's kind of shocking, you know, how influential the media has been in portraying the South Side a certain way. You know, people are literally afraid of the South Side and have very black and white views about what life is like. And because I lived on the South Side and partied on the South Side and did many things on the South Side safely, they were just kind of foreign to me. So we really, you know, try to humanize the experience. Like, these are just normal people living their lives. There's ebbs and flow. There's triumphs and tragedies. And someone, you know, I heard someone say, you know, people like black people's rhythm, but they don't like our blues. And I think that was the balancing act for me this season, was to show the rhythm and to show the blues, the joy and the pain, and still keep it all entertaining. So for me, I think that was the goal, was really to always keep that balance, you know, because we do want it to feel entertaining. We don't want it to feel like a drag, but you still want to keep it real and keep it, you know, and keep that grit.
Season 2 of The Chi, it premieres Sunday, April 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Showtime. Check your local news for where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. More details with the promo online, show.com, SHO.com. If you didn't experience the first season of The Chi, and I did, see the second. I think you'll really enjoy it, and it's a very, very special series. And I'm also pulling it, by the way, to be a Peabody Award nominee when the nominees come out early next month. Ayanna Floyd Davis, new executive producer and showrunner on The Chi. Thanks for being with us. A pleasure to have you aboard. Congratulating you and everybody on season two, and hopefully what kicks off in April will be the beginning of even more seasons and more wonderful things for your series to come.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me. You kind of, your energy made my day, so so thank you so much for having me.
Your pleasure, and same here, Ayanna. Take care. All the greatest. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Ayanna Porter Davis from the Chai joining us live from Los Angeles. Now, before we leave you for this Friday and week, classic trivia question, here it is. Name the original judge on the original 1960s version of Divorce Court. Name the original judge on the original 1960s version of Divorce Court. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your full name and address. And if you are first with the correct answer before this weekend is out, you will win Working Actor. It's the wonderful bestseller by recent TWB guest Daniel Dean Petrell. That's Working Actor. That's our prize for this week's classic trivia question. Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you get the question, we'll post it early tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. And as always, in order to win, first step, play it in. That's all the very best. Thanks to our guests today and all week long here on Tomorrow We Televised for our 3 episodes. Of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in live or on replay. Don't forget, Monday, special time, all about Apple and their big It's Showtime announcement from Cupertino, California. We will be on a special time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Our guest, roundtable style, will be from Business Insider, Apple correspondent Lisa Andricchio, and or tech correspondent Troy Wolverton, and from Media Village, new tech columnist Jeff Minsky, and maybe one or two other people as well, and yours truly. And don't forget, we want to hear from you, too. So join us Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, for our All About Apple Hour, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up with episodes missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast. It's always available at iTunes, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And don't forget the columns that I write regularly for Media Village, the leading B2B site for wonderful media analysis and commentary. That's MediaVillage.com. Remember, we love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. I do respond to email and social media within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Toes, Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is executive content producer. And the co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For 3 free audiobooks and 1 month trial, or get an annual subscription, $50 off, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. And have a fantastic weekend, particularly if you're in March Madness. Good luck with your brackets. We'll be back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, All About Apple, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, March Madness or not, please make it safe and make it great. And stay tuned to BTR and Spreaker for ongoing coverage of the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.